At this point last year, we were rounding out the end of 2019, and we were standing on the verge of 2020. Do you remember? I mean, yes, technically 2020 is just another number, but it has a certain ring to it. Maybe it's the symmetry of the numbers, the repetition of two double, even-numbered digits. I mean, do you remember back when we thought that there was a certain elegance, classiness, sophistication, style to 2020? I mean, it seemed like it would be kind of a cool year to be born in, to graduate from, or to get married in. But boy, that hasn't worked out, has it? A year ago, I was thinking, hey, 2020, that's going to be pretty cool. But now, when you say 2020, it's almost like it's a profanity or a curse. I was at the doctor the other day because I had managed to get a bad case of poison oak in November because, you know, it's 2020. My doctor noticed and was concerned that my blood pressure was a little bit high. See, this was a change and somewhat unusual for someone my age, and so she started asking me a series of questions about diet and exercise and other things that might explain it. And nothing that we could come up with really satisfied her, and in the end, all I could tell her was, maybe it's just because it's 2020. I don't know if you remember, but 2020 didn't really start out all bad. I mean, yes, there were challenges, there were difficulties, there were struggles, just like there are every year. But about 9 months ago, we got some unexpected news that turned our worlds upside down. COVID-19 pandemic. And it's COVID-19 instead of COVID-20, because it was first officially identified on December 31st of 2019. Happy New Year. And 9 months ago, the first shutdown began. And ever since, we've had to deal with all sorts of turmoil and conflict. About this time, 2,000 years ago, a young Middle Eastern woman gave birth to a baby boy. This alone was not particularly significant or unusual. Doubtlessly, many baby boys were born to young mothers that year. But what set this birth apart was that 9 months earlier, this young woman received some unexpected news that turned her world upside down, causing her all sorts of turmoil and conflict. We are in the season of Advent. This morning, Greg and Susan and their kids reminded us that this is the third Sunday of Advent. They reminded us that the word Advent is a word that means coming, the coming of God into our world as a baby more special than any other, a baby who was born to be the solution to all of our turmoil and conflict. A baby who was born to be our Prince of Peace. This morning, we're going to hear about how a young woman named Mary learned that she was going to give birth to Jesus. We're going to acknowledge how unexpected circumstances, impossible news, and costly implications can all create turmoil and conflict in our lives. And we're going to consider how her child, Jesus, is the solution and the hope that we need for our lives as we live in this beautiful but broken world. So if you'd like to follow along, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now last week, we were in Matthew's gospel. We were looking at events leading up to and including Jesus' birth, but it was from Joseph's perspective. This week, we're going to be in Luke's gospel. looking at Mary's experience of learning that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Now, in describing Jesus' birth, Luke also tells us about the birth of another special baby boy. This other baby is going to grow up to be a great prophet, the prophet John the Baptist. His birth story is also miraculous, but in different ways. And he's born to parents who have never been able to have children, and now they are way, or should be, way too old to have kids. And yet this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are pregnant, and in 3 months, their son is going to be born. And so this is actually where we pick up the story. Luke 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, I described for you Mary's circumstances last week. In our world, we would think of Mary as an adolescent, a young teenager. She's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, which is kind of like our engagement, but more legally binding. And in fact, if this were happening today, we would think her way too young to be getting married. But this was actually normal in her time and in her culture. Undoubtedly, she, like most brides, is excited about her impending marriage, about the new life and the new home that she will create with her husband, about the children they plan to have and the family that they will create together. And Mary is, of course, surprised when the angel Gabriel appears to her. I mean, who wouldn't be? And though his greeting affirms Mary for her devotion to God, Mary is troubled and she wonders what this appearance might mean for her. Unexpected circumstances, like the appearance of an angel, can cause us turmoil and conflict. Mary is in turmoil, troubled, because she is not sure what to make of Gabriel's appearance. It was unexpected. It was out of the blue. It was shocking. This has been a year of unexpected circumstances for us. Worldwide pandemic, shuttered schools, distance learning, takeout only dining, layoffs, hundreds of thousands hospitalized, almost 300 dead just in the U.S. And all of that's just COVID. Some have experienced personal tragedies, even beyond this, accidents, health problems, deaths. I mean, sometimes surprises are good, but many surprises are not. Unexpected circumstances can upend our plans, our lives, our well-being. They create all sorts of turmoil, both internal and external, just like it did for Mary here. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Now, the angel is going to reassure Mary, but he also has news that is going to introduce new complications for her. Look at verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, it is inconceivable to think that a young woman in Mary's time and circumstance wasn't anticipating, planning, hoping to have children with Joseph. To hear the angel say that she would conceive and give birth to a son was really good news. And according to this angel, this child of hers was going to be someone pretty special. But there's a complication. Mary clearly understood that the angel was not describing the conception of this child as a future after the wedding marital context type event. This promised conception was imminent. It was now. And that, for Mary, was impossible news. Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin. Seemingly impossible news can be a source of turmoil and conflict. For many of us, this has been a year of impossible news. Back in March, we received news that just weeks earlier had seemed unthinkable. Our whole state was going into lockdown. If you could work, you had to do it from home. And we're not supposed to go anywhere except to the doctor's office or grocery store. Churches were closed except on the internet. Toilet paper rationing became a thing. And over these last 9 months, more seemingly impossible news. Parents, your kids are going to do school from your living room this year. Teachers, you're going to do all your teaching through a computer screen. Grandpas and grandmas, it's best that you avoid your grandkids during the holidays this year. Businesses, restaurant owners, you got to figure out a way to make it work at a fraction of your previous capacity. All of you who are unemployed, the funding's running out. You're going to have to figure out how to make do without. And of course, you need to wear a mask everywhere you go. To the store, to the bank, to worship, when you're at your job. Now granted, not all of this is at the same level of impossible news as that of a virgin who's going to conceive a child. But a lot of these guidelines and expectations and changes that have been put on us over these last months have felt like impossible news. And they've created all sorts of turmoil and conflict in and around us. Although this angel's announcement is seemingly impossible news, he's going to go on and explain how God is going to make the impossible possible for Mary. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. God will make the impossible possible for Mary. She will conceive and carry this baby through the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And the angel reveals to Mary that her elderly relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, giving credibility to the possibility of her own impending pregnancy. God makes the impossible possible. And soon enough, Mary will go and she will confirm that Elizabeth is in fact pregnant. Mary will see Elizabeth's pregnant belly, and before too long, her own as well. There will be no doubt in Mary's mind that this impossible, miraculous, special child is really coming. Now, Luke doesn't mention it explicitly in his gospel, but this pregnancy has costly implications for Mary. Costly implications that will cause her additional turmoil and conflict. Last week, we saw that Mary's unexpected pregnancy almost ended her marriage even before it began. Joseph very understandably believed that Mary must have been unfaithful to him. And it only changes his mind when the angel appears to him as well. But do you think that Mary's neighbors, her community members, her extended family, do you think they believed her? I mean, I'm sure Elizabeth did, but probably not very many others. In fact, Luke even seems to hint at this in chapter 2, where he tells us that Jesus was placed in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Even though Joseph's family was from Bethlehem, and Mary was obviously very, very pregnant, it seems that no relative was willing to open their home to them. Mary's pregnancy had costly implications for this new couple. Ours is a beautiful but fundamentally broken world. And this has been a year full of costly implications of that brokenness. Not the least of which has been the pandemic. In addition to the hundreds of thousands of lives lost, we've also seen increased incidences of domestic violence. Greater educational disparities between those in the middle class and those who are poor. Decreasing church participation and giving. Higher rates of anxiety and depression and suicide. I mean, I don't think I need to go on. You know all too well the kind of things that I'm talking about. This has been a year of turmoil and conflict within us, all around us, between us. I mean, it is enough to drive us to despair were it not for one thing. In today's Advent reading, Greg and Susan and their kids read a passage from Isaiah chapter 9. Written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet made this proclamation about the long-promised Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This baby born to Mary is not just the impossible, miraculous child. He is also the Prince of Peace. That was gospel. That was good news for Mary. And this is gospel. This is good news for us. For there is so much turmoil and conflict within us and around us and between us. And we need the peace that only this Prince of Heaven can bring us. For he is the true hope and solution for all of our world's turmoil and conflict. Now, in our world, the best kind of peace that we can usually hope for is just the end of open conflict. Not so much resolution as just the cessation of overt hostilities. Less true harmony than just a fragile ceasefire. But this is not the kind of peace that Isaiah promised and that Mary's child was born to bring us. Jesus was born to bring shalom to the world. Shalom is the Bible's word for peace. It's a term, it's an idea, it's a concept that describes the state of being in which everything is as God intends for it to be. It's a state of being in which all relationships are characterized by joy and by flourishing. Our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, our relationship with ourselves, even our relationship with creation. And it is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who is the key to the restoration of this kind of shalom. Because it is in Jesus that we are reconciled to God. This little child of Mary's would grow up into a man who would willingly die in our place for our sins, so that we can be forgiven and our relationship with God can be healed. It is in Jesus that we are reconciled to each other. Jesus is the one who teaches us how to love and how to forgive others, calling us to do so even to our enemies. In Him, we are adopted into the family of God. We are made into family, made brothers and sisters with all those who also pledge their love and loyalty to Him. It's in Jesus that we can be reconciled to our own hearts, to ourselves. Because it's in Jesus that we discover that we are loved and accepted by the one who matters the most, by the God who created us, and who knows us better than even we do, who knows us in all of our beauties as well as in all of our flaws, and loves us deeply nonetheless. And it is Jesus who is going to heal our relationship with creation. The second advent of the Prince of Peace is coming. And one day He is going to return, and He will finally and forever fix all of the brokenness in our world. And that means that famine and flood will cease. Pandemics will end. And every tear will be wiped away. And He will make all things new. For to us, a very, very special child has been born. And He is our wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. In the midst of all the turmoil and all the conflict around us, within us, and between us, my friends, keep looking to Jesus, because He is our true Prince of Peace. Let me pray. Father, we worship and we thank You, and we praise You for sending Your Son to be our Prince of Peace. Jesus, we bow before You as our true rescuer King, recognizing our need for You, pledging our allegiance to You as the one who reconciles us to God, to each other, to our own hearts, and even to creation. Holy Spirit, renew our hearts again with the wonder of the Advent season, especially this year, that we would worship and celebrate the goodness of our God, the joy of our salvation, and the true peace that we have in Jesus. And it is in the name of the Prince of Peace that we pray this. Amen. I want to invite you to stand for the blessing, and then I will dismiss you. Our worship service will be over. Remind you that probably just 5 or 6 minutes after the service is done, we'll do our business meeting. So covenant members especially, please stay if you can. But more importantly, the blessing. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And because you have received him, because you have believed in his name, you go from here today as the children of God. Amen. You are dismissed.